apostolic legacy. That's it. And I appreciate all of you being here this morning. We are thankful. And as Brother Nick said, good to see Mike and his guest, Mike Hancock, and good to have all of our guests, all of our visitors. And we are thankful that you are here and that you are took time to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't want to throw Sister Brenda under the bus. I talked to her this morning. I visited with her father yesterday, and he's in the hospital and trying to maybe have to go to rehab. And I know she's that is an overwhelming time of worrying about him and trying to figure out what he where he's going and being under the gun. And I've spoken to Brother Inman two or three times this week at different times, and Sister Gina is here this morning, and that's been a journey. Amen. And that's been a journey for her and Brother Rodney. And I saw John Sheese's party yesterday. I saw Natalie and Eckstein and with Sabrina, and she's here this morning. It's been a while since she's been in church with us. And there's I could go, that's just, you know, one side. I can go over and look at everybody that's been through it and going through it. And right now we're praying for the entire Hancock family. Larry is not doing well and in need of hospice, possibly being transferred to the hospital. My mother was going to try to come this morning, and I tried to encourage her. I was down a little before 9 singing Everybody Ought to Go to Sunday School, because that's what she used to sing to me when I didn't want to get up on Sunday morning. She'd come in and sing Everybody Ought to Go to Sunday School. Y'all, anybody remember that song? And the boys and the girls, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. And then I broke into one of her other of her favorites, a little birdie with a yellow bill, sat on my windowsill, cocked his little head and said, "Get up, you sleepy head." Y'all, those are classics. Sorry if you missed hearing those. Start singing them to your grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Anyway, whatever the case may be. And I spoke Wednesday night on some of the first that Jesus had, and one of them that I talked about was your attitude and getting your attitude in line with the Lord and getting our priorities in line with the Lord. And I know the Bible is very clear when it says that when he comes back, what is it that he is going to be looking for? Anybody want to say the word? Faith. Faith. Where will he find faith? And I know we have a voice in the world that is to steal, kill, and destroy, and another voice that wants to give life and life more abundantly. And yet, under a barrage of attacks, and I don't know what Iran will do in the coming days and weeks, and I don't know how Israel will respond, but I was listening as commentators were talking about the hundreds of drones that they sent over that were very slow and methodical, and you know, it took a 6 or 8 hour flight, And then Israel had to send, and those drones cost thousands, and Israel had to send up missiles to stop them that cost hundreds of thousands. And just then after they sent all the drones, they sent the next level of missiles, which took 3 or 4 hours. And then finally, they sent ballistic missiles, which took just minutes to go from Iran to Israel. And so the point of all of that was just to sort of pound and pound and pound and pound, and the war that's been going on just pounding away. And I don't know if anybody else has, besides some of those that I mentioned, has ever felt like the devil has been pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. But guess what? He knows his time is short. And what would he love to do to all of us is to destroy our faith. And that's why I just thought today I would sort of, maybe, I know it's, you're familiar with it, but increasing, how to increase our faith. Can we increase our faith? Did the Lord ever help people increase their faith? And how did the Lord do it? And how is it done? And I realize that, you know, that in this hour, we have to have faith to overcome. In fact, Jesus himself said, for whatsoever is through John, with a writer, he said, when John wrote, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so that's why the attack is on our faith. Because if we can lose faith, if we can lose hope, if we can lose a desire to believe that God is still in control, God's able, you know. And so when it seems like we've been hit with one blow after another, and I know I can go through, it doesn't take very long to go through and tell you all the blows, but we know that what is that attack, that barrage, is to attack our faith. Verse we know in the Hebrews 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter. It's a great chapter if you want to read it. But it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so if you say, well, I believe he is, but I don't think he knows where I'm going. Well, then that means that you need to diligently seek him, because he will reward you. What happens is we wring our hands instead of raising our hands. You know, we gasp instead of letting go with a praise. What are you doing? I need the Lord, so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to do something. Now, when you realize, this is where Jesus told them, I said in the words of Jesus, Mark the 11th chapter, Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. It was like a commandment. Have faith in God. You say, well, I don't know. I don't understand. And then he goes on to say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Oh Lord, I still believe you. I don't know how you're going to solve it. I don't know what you're going to do, but I still have faith. I still believe. You say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, Keep telling yourself you have faith. Grab hold of a promise. Keep hanging on. Lord, you said you'd never leave nor forsake. You said you'd be there in the midnight hour. You said you'd make a way where there was no way. You said that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the... Grab hold of a promise and keep praying and find one. Put it on your mirror and say, I'm going to keep praying in faith. Yes. Say, well... He says, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And we know there are stories. When Jesus came into a house, blind men came to him. And Jesus asked them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Why would he ask, do you believe? Because if you don't believe... It stops the presence of God from being able to work. That's why the Bible even says that the Lord could not do a lot of mighty miracles in the city of Nazareth. Because you know what? Everybody looked at him and goes, that's little Jesus. We watched him grow up. That's why oftentimes, you know, an evangelist or somebody can come by a church that, you know, you've heard the same sermon maybe five times, and I've said it, and someone else has said it, and then we can get log on and get a seminar, and somebody can say something, and they go, oh, I believe. It's a different voice. So when the Lord asked him, do you believe I'm able to do this? What was his answer? Yay, Lord. He touched his eyes and says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so, you know, you say, but I can be weak in faith. And the Lord dealt with people that were weak in faith. And it's amazing. There's probably two of the famous stories after the resurrection was Thomas himself, who kept hearing these reports that we give him the word doubting Thomas, you know, and Thomas kind of says, well, unless I can put my hand in his side, I can do this, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus appeared to them, and what did the Lord say? Count it. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. I don't know, 30 words. I don't know how many it would have been in Hebrew. Less than 50 words. Less than 40 words. A doubting Thomas became an amazing witnessing Thomas. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Immediately he put him as the Lord and God. He listed him as being God. That's why we talk about one God, and you know, it's all in him. Thomas got that amazing revelation when he saw the resurrected Jesus and he spoke to him. Another story found in Luke, the 24th chapter, I believe it is, and verse 21, then verse 30 and 31, you'll read the story. You can, what it's called, the road to Emmaus, the walk to Emmaus, and you remember that all of a sudden these two people, two disciples, and they must have been part of the inner circle of some sort because they were all there. And they, this guy walks up to them and they begin talking to this guy. And this guy is acting like, well, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Well, we're depressed. Well, what's happening? Well, we're kind of, this is not, you know, things haven't worked the way we thought they were. And I know some ladies came in, talked about the Lord was resurrected, but we, you know, here's what they said. We trusted. We had faith that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And we watched him crucified. And we just don't know. And this guy starts talking to him. And he starts preaching and teaching and explaining to him about different individuals. And I don't know. I wish I've often said, and I still say, I wish I would have heard some of the things. I don't know if he talked about the faith that Moses had to walk through and put out, stretch out forth the rod and lead the children out of the Red Sea. And I don't know if he talked about the sacrificial lamb. I don't know. But, you know, it was several minute, hours walking, and this guy was talking, and man, they were feeling good, and they were listening to the stories, and whenever they said, well, it's getting dark, you know the story, some of you, and they go, hey, stay with us. Hey, why don't you stay with us and have supper? And because Jesus acted like he was going to go, and so all of a sudden, he took the bread. And what did he do? He blessed it. And then he broke it. And then he gave it to them. Now, if this was a loaf of bread, how would you grab it to break it? Okay, like that? Let me stand up and show me how you would do that. Okay, like that? He put his hands up here kind of like this. What are you going to see when he puts his hands up there? You know what they saw? Go to the next slide. They saw a gruesome hole in his hands. And about that time, he disappeared. They didn't worry about supper, but they headed back to Jerusalem. And you know what they were saying? We just saw the risen Christ. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to see what the Lord has done for you, and then you don't understand how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he's got your back, how much he's in your court, you don't see what God is able, has already done. If you could see what God has done, then you have no doubt what God still can do. If you would just simply say, Lord, I want to get a glimpse of who you are. I want you to increase my faith. Oh, hallelujah. Luke, the 24th chapter. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And he opened the scriptures. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, find the 11 gathered together that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told them what things were done in the way, how he was known of them. Where? In the breaking of the bread. And so I know the Lord uses sometimes things. In fact, when you go back to Abraham, considered the father of the faithful, what was it the Lord told him? He said, look at the stars. Look at the sand. Your children are going to be like the stars of the heaven. David talked about the Lord knows the names of all the stars. Isaiah talked about, look up, God is in control. And I realize that sometimes in the midst of wherever we're going through, we've got to take around, look around and say, Lord, you know, I can still see your goodness. I can still see your power. I can still see what you are doing. Maybe you haven't done it for me yet, but because you brought somebody else through, because you've done another miracle that I know about, I still believe you are able to do it in my situation. Increase my faith. Oh, hallelujah. And I realize the one time that the apostles really got beside themselves was when the Lord, when they asked the Lord about how many times they should forgive. And what did the Lord tell them? 70 times 7 a day. And you know what their response was? Increase our faith. I don't know if I can do that. Anybody ever felt that way? I don't know if that's possible, Lord. And yet Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And at times I've prayed like this man whenever the Lord said, you believe your daughter can be. And I've done what it, Lord. I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody ever prayed that? The enemy's trying to attack my faith. I believe, but help my unbelief. But what are you saying? And that's where we love the verse. And it's true, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I know where our society, we have HG radio, and we have sermons, and we have podcasts, and we have YouTube videos, and you can listen to wonderful preachers, and you can listen to all kinds of words, and you can put your phone where it'll read the Word to you, and you can talk to yourself. You can grab hold of the ephod and say, you know what? The Lord said he was there. What are you doing? Faith comes by hearing. Believe it or not, there's something about hearing it. Hearing a word from God. Hearing what you've just said. Read it out loud. You say, well, I read it to myself. Read it out loud. Walk the floor. Decide, you know what? I need faith. I need the Lord to somehow move in a mighty way. I need God. I believe you've never left us. Now, the important thing is that Paul wrote in Corinthians, and I could spend a long time on this. He said, casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that verse, you could easily preach about why our, whether it's, movies, inappropriate, appropriate, whatever, it is getting into our imagination. It's trying to work into our thought process. And that's where, the sin begins here. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, I tell you what, if you hate your brother, it starts here and then it comes out here. If it's in your heart and your mind, if you look on a woman to lust, it's in here. Guess what? Comes out in actions. You say, oh, well, I can do it and keep it just in my thought life. I will tell you, it'll destroy every bit about you, because that's where the enemy is, to steal, kill, and destroy. And the reason sometimes that we are bombarded, and the place that the enemy tries to attack first, is right up here and right here. I get overwhelmed emotionally. I get overwhelmed mentally. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's why it becomes bringing into captivity every thought. When my thought starts saying, well, I don't know, it could be bad. I go, yep, it could be, but God's still greater. I'm not saying that, I realize, I don't know if I'll make it. I don't know if I'll do it. You know what? God is still able. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to keep looking up. Peter wrote it like this: Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. What are you saying? When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, he puts faith down in there. There's a measure of faith. And you say, I don't have any faith. Oh, really? Walk out of here and go to your car and try to turn it on. Something doesn't happen. You have faith that when you turn that key or push that button, you have faith that when you flip the light switch, you have faith. Electricity, cars. Well, it's got to become second nature that we keep recognizing, I have to have faith in God. Here he said, we have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That's why you keep talking about him, thinking about him. That's why you keep your mind stayed on him and of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that we by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. I can be like Jesus. I don't know why. It's not impossible. It's not possible through my flesh, but through my faith in him, he is able to change me. You say, well, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And where does lust start? My desires, right up here. You can escape that. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. I could go through and preach on every one of those. The reason why sometimes people lose faith is they start losing virtue. They quit talking about the Lord and knowing him, and they quit being temperate, and they quit being patient, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness is a symptom of not having enough faith in God. Oh, well, you don't know what I know about him. You don't know. You know what? He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Oh God, if we had the faith to be able to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, if we have the faith, it says here, in the brotherly kindness to charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What are you saying? We should know what God's given us. Which things also we speak, not in words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Sometimes you have to speak things that are not as though they are. I'm not talking about over on the ditch of name it and claim it. I claim for $1 million. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. But sometimes you have to speak to yourself in faith. Yes. Lord, you are still able. God, I believe. I trust. You're able to open the door. You're able to get me a better job. You're able, God, to work this out. Here's what he said. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Natural man receives not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. A lot of times the things that we speak on natural things, not spiritual things. You know, oh Lord, I believe you're going to put $100 in my bank account. Faith, God didn't do it. That's a natural thing. Lord, you're going to give me the strength, and you're going to give me the power to be a witness today. Ooh, that's a whole different spiritual thing. Lord, you're going to help me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Most of the stuff we try to speak and name it and claim it is natural stuff. That's why Paul said, start talking spiritual stuff to you. I can make it. I can do it. I don't have to fight this depression. I can get victory through power of God. What are you saying? You know, even speaking faith in future, into the future in anticipation of tests. What are you talking about? Let me read this. And I'll read this slide one more and I'll be through. Sorry. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Then you know what he added? This is the word of faith. He spoke faith. I know what you're going to do. I know how you're going to treat me. I know what's going to happen. I know you're going to leave me alone. I know I'm going to go through the valley without anybody. Yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus, you're going to later pray, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet he walked into it with faith. Yet I know what's going to happen. Oh, I know the doctor may come back with a bad report. Yet I know a doctor that is better than the doctor that I'm going to. I know in whom I have believed. I know he's going to make a way. He spoke a word of faith to himself. And then you know what he even went further to say? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have, past tense, overcome the world. He had not yet done it. He spoke it, but it had not happened. He hadn't overcome the world when he said that. He hadn't overcome. He was still this other side of Calvary. He was going to have to go through an entire night. He was going to have to be beaten. He was going to have to be crucified. He was going to have to pray. And yet he said, I have, past tense, overcome the world.
Glory.
What is he doing? He's speaking a future event into my present. I know in whom I believe. One of these days, I'm going to walk a street of gold. One of these days, I'm not going to have to deal with my hip, my arm, my back. One of these days.
Glory.
And let me show you how powerful this is. Paul himself wrote to the Colossians church. He said, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein we are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Then he says a powerful phrase, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly in doing. That's when he overcame the world.
Yeah.
Calvary, he overcame the world. 3 days after Calvary, he overcame death when he walked out. He had not yet done it, but he claimed it. He said, I have already overcome the world. I have already. Sometimes you got to speak as if it, you know what? I have overcome. And Sister Dennis is here, and they've been served as a missionary, and she can tell you there's something about it. But sometimes when you're on the mission field and people don't have anything and don't know anything and can't go to the store to get a loaf of bread, can't go and get a doctor, you have to speak a word of faith, and you see miracles that you have never seen in the United States. Why? Because that's all they have is faith. That's all I have is my faith in God. That's all I have. That's why whenever Paul wrote to the Romans that Abraham was the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not. Sometimes you have to say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm speaking a word of faith. Well, I don't know. It's kind of tough. I know. But are you going to have a I don't know or an I can? What does the word say? I can do all. Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? And listen to me carefully. You say, well, I don't want to be crazy. I know my mother's having trouble walking. Brother John Mick's having trouble walking, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I may get to the point where I can't get up out of the chair. I can't walk myself. But I hope somebody will remind me to say, I can walk in Jesus' name. I'm going to walk down a street of gold. I don't know whether I'll walk today or not, but I know I can walk. I know I can. I know I can. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep having faith. I'm going to keep saying, I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because I want to increase my faith.